Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, Tin.
Got us.
Looks like Tin says Komo Sayama.
Welcome to the Octavarius, but I am frustrated by this joke already. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 129 of the podcast.
Feeling mighty, mighty, mighty fine.
Well, anyway, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's me, Castelby.
Hey, it's Makula.
Hi, it's LP.
Hey, it's Keith.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Hey, it's Lauren.
Hey, it's Dan's.
Hey, it's Chris.
Hey, it's Shay.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hey, it's Mark.
Wait a minute, hang on. Whoa!
What?
Whoa!
What?
Whoa! What? I'm scared! I'm scared! I'm scared. Did you guys hear a voice in the room? Aside from all our voices in the room?
Was it the ghost? Man. I didn't hear anything.
Hang on!
The ghost.
Oh, wait. It's our good friend Shay. Hi, Shay.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
What's going on?
Podcasting.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, Shay's going to be a guest star in our upcoming show this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Where can we see Shay sometimes?
Sometimes, and particularly in August sometimes, I am frequently on the comedy sports stage Wednesday nights.
Woot, 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 woot. Cool. Yeah, Shay, it's going to be awesome to have you in the show Sunday, which, by the way, is our Breaking Oz show. So come out and see the Breaking Oz show.
Another special thing about Shay, she dates one of the Octavarius members. She's a Lauren's girlfriend, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on a year.
Wow.
They're a real obnoxious couple.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm sorry, if anyone else's tongue tasted as good as Lauren's, I would keep it in my mouth all the time, too.
That brings up a great question, Shay, all that talk, which is, what would you say is your biggest fear?
Well, are we getting into it already?
Let's find out. We got to the thing she loves most.
We didn't get to the letter.
The letter does not really pertain to Shay's fear, so
sure.
All right,
out there.
I have a horrible, horrible fear of monkeys.
What kind of monkeys?
Any and all primates. I am not okay with.
What about the monkeys from Congo?
Especially the monkeys from Congo. They play with eyeballs.
Like where? So where do you see monkeys? Like at the zoo? If you see them, you're just like freaked out.
I do. I get really freaked out in the Brookfield Zoo House because it's all open. It's just that sort of. Roped path.
So
and
cool.
I've just been determined since I was a kid that monkeys are just waiting to attack us all. I don't know what I saw. I don't know what I heard. Well, other than monkeys plotting, obviously.
They have. You guys have seen the picture of that lady who got her face torn off.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch Planet of the Apes a lot as a kid? I'm actually a really big fan of Planet of the Apes.
I didn't watch Planet of the Apes until I was much older.
Matt Castelby's a very big fan of Planet of the Apes.
Talking in third person, Matt
Castelby? Yeah. But do you think your fear stemmed from that?
I think it actually stemmed. There's this movie called, I think it's called Monkey Shines from like the 80s.
What is Monkey Shines?
Sounds like a terrible.
It is. It's this movie about this. It's a movie about this quadriplegic guy who gets a helper monkey, and anyone who like insults the guy, the helper monkey goes and kills and like tries to control the guy's life really like stringently.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Doesn't that feature?
I think it has Bryan Cranston in it to tie it all
no
back to.
No fooling.
Wait, really?
I think it does.
Bryan Cranston? What if he wrote us a letter today?
Wait, Tins, shit, Tins.
Oh, shit. What's up, LP?
Shit, Tins.
Shit, man.
I lost your mailbag.
Oh, shit. Well, Does anyone have the mail back? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, you guys.
I don't have
You're
the mail.
Idiot.
I'll make it up. I'm sorry! Guys!
Wait, I have it.
Just throw
I have
structure
it.
Out the window.
I have it right here.
Put it in the chat room.
Oh, no.
what's never pleasant. It's never pleasant.
This one. Oh. this letter comes to us from a Spanish listener. His name is L. Frank Bomb. B-O-M-B.
Oh my. So, I am feeling more comfortable now, finally.
And Mr. Bomb, right, so it's the Frank Bomb, I guess, if you translate that. And Mr. Bomb writes, "Hey guys, long-time listener, first-time write-in. I've just been wondering, you know, sometimes really good people do really bad things. And then, after a while, they're just really bad people doing really bad things. And then, every once in a while, there'll be a really bad person who does a really good thing. But it's often not enough for me to actually forgive them, except in movies where for some reason that seems to be okay. Why is that okay? I mean, I'm a pretty good person, and I do good things. And nobody loves me." There's a tear stain over this next part.
Aww, no.
It says, "Also, I love Breaking Bad. What is up with that?"
Well,
good question.
Thank you so much for the letter, Mr. Bomb. Mr. Bomb. B-O-M.
B-A-U-M.
Oh, no, this one was B-O-M-B.
Mark spelled it the way that he wanted to spell it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the thing. Right now, we're doing a Breaking Bad show, which, I mean, that's such a coincidence that we got that letter.
It's very striking coincidence.
And that was, you know, originally writing the show, you know, I didn't know whether or not we were going to include any spoilers in it, because there are a lot of people who haven't seen the show, including people in the group.
Well, I think that's a big, big deal now, especially now that, like, Facebook and Twitter are so prevalent in most people's lives. At least one of the two is. Like, spoilers are a huge deal now. Like, even if you don't watch a whole lot of TV, like, I know...
I think that's such a load of crap.
How so?
I think people that are afraid of being spoiled for things are... It's just such a load of crap.
What
I think
really
that... Because I feel like most people just... say that to themselves, but everybody knows that they like things better after they already know how it comes out. They, you know, like, everybody says that out loud, "Don't spoil!" But they all do want to know. They get a lot more pleased.
I'll agree with you to a certain extent, but there are certain shows and certain movies where I want to find out for myself.
And the thing about Breaking Bad is the whole show is about... a seemingly good man who, you know, is thrust into this situation, or he puts himself in a situation where he has to do things that are continually worse and worse to survive. He's in these be killed situations, but he keeps doing these horrible things, and there's a lot of surprises in, you know, how low this guy can sink.
But you want to know the how. You don't want to know this, like, the events you don't really care about.
What about, like when he dies?
I don't think that really matters. I think what really matters is how they die. It all goes down.
I think that's part of it too.
If you go at the end, you know, Harry Potter kills Voldemort, you know. That doesn't matter. The real thing is
I get you though, but at the same time, like with Breaking Bad, the Walt and Jesse, the two main characters, just started cooking again, which that's not really a spoiler. The fact that I'm saying they are cooking meth again is not necessarily a spoiler, mm-hmm. but the process of how they come up with the idea of where to cook it again and how to cook it again in a new and different situation so that they'll get away with it scot-free is the thing that you don't want to get spoiled. And that largely is the how. Like, I could care less if, you know, I mean, I'll get over it if somebody tells me that a major character dies, but don't tell me how it happens. Don't tell me, I don't want the, you know, I guess I don't want the specifics of the writing and the directing and cinematography ruined for me, because I guess I want to experience it the way that that the crew wanted it to be seen, I guess, if that makes sense.
You know what's interesting, too? This year, the Olympics are, you know, happening, hours... Like, they're being broadcast to us hours after they actually happen. Mm-hmm. So many people have a lot of stuff spoiled, and NBC has even been in trouble for doing the spoiling in some accidental cases.
Yeah.
But the ratings for the Olympics are still the highest ratings that they've ever had.
Yeah, I really think it's about the how. The difference in sports is that it's a live broadcast, so everyone's seeing it at the same time, including the crowd that is reacting to the live event. So I think that's a little bit different than a fictional event, but still, the how is what really matters, not the events that take place.
Well, and
it's true for everyone, though. Like, Lauren seemed very upset by...
Well, I was young and impressionable and went to boarders and waited like hours to get my fifth Harry Potter book. And some asshole in the boarder flipped to the end, they got the first copy, front in line. And I was like way in the back still. And they're like, oh my god, serious ties, everybody. And everybody was
in the
fifth
one? Yeah. That person was very confused then.
Or in the...
No, they weren't confused. Right.
Oh no, yeah. you're right. I'm sorry, I was thinking...
But yeah, it was just like everybody, like I thought that he was going to get...
But I feel like that's a huge deal if the end of a book is spoiled, though. Because you have to invest hours and hours into reading a book. Because, you know, because the Harry Potter book got pretty lengthy. Towards
that's
the end of them.
That's
so
the biggest book.
You know, when I get to books like that, I normally just skip to the end anyways and read it. It's like that. Well, it's like that when Harry Met Sally mentality of like, well, what if I don't get to finish this? I want to know how it ends.
Nice.
But in the middle, that's if it true. Stinks, then I can still keep up with the water cooler.
I'll try to shoot a proposal for that reason.
I would also like to point out, though, that Lauren still loves Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that ruined your enjoyment of it. It made you mad because you thought it would ruin your enjoyment.
I think it's a momentary anger. Yeah. It's a one-time anger.
And,
I'll totally get it.
But I'm still mad.
And,
like,
I think
later.
It's an anger that people that like to complain have.
But I think reading a book, especially, reading a book's experience in that you get, like, bits of information on time, you know, it's like foreshadowing, all these things, this experience, and so to have that ruined is just kind of
yeah. Funny. Like I would have been totally like, much more.
There's no
you know,
build.
Yeah, that's the big thing though. People want to control their own experience. Mm-hmm. Like the thing about sports and why it's so different, like with sports and spoilers, is because sports we're used to being able to all root together. You know, mm-hmm. you have to watch it as it happens because that's really the only way. I mean, and that's what sports is one of the only things where like TV used to be like that. Everybody watched Who Shot Mr. Burns because everybody was anticipating it and everybody had to watch it because there was a time where if you didn't watch it when it aired, there was a chance you could never see it again.
Right.
Now we can all have it, we can own it, we can watch it whenever we damn well please, but with that, you've increased the likelihood that, you know, you're not gonna, if you don't experience it right off the bat when the whole world experiences it, someone's probably gonna blow the surprise for you.
The other thing I think, too, is that maybe you may not enjoy the story any less for watching it, but I think there's something to be said if you really care about, like, the artist, let's say. Like, if you then you want to see what they're doing on a sort of, like, artistic and critical level that isn't just enjoying the story, where you want to follow it and be surprised so that you can be impressed by how good they are.
Well, I think you'd be more impressed the more you know going in, because you're not able to see things with the widest of eyes.
But I like to do it that way and then go back and watch how it happened, because I like that fresh, like, if something has a really good turn where you're like, oh my god, I totally didn't see that coming, I'm an idiot, then I like to go back and watch it again.
Well, I know when I started Breaking Bad, I started in season 3, and it spoils a lot of what happens in seasons 1 and 2 if you start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I enjoyed season 1 less because of that. So I think go ahead.
I'm sure it gave you a different perspective. I'm sure you watched it with different eyes than if you had
seen it. Oh, absolutely. But
I mean,
you can say that, like, if you go into it and you used to be a meth addict, then you go in with different eyes. If you go into it and
you
you love Malcolm in the Middle, go in with different eyes, you know?
That's very true.
Like,
it's
your
so
experience
fucking
is tainted no matter what. It's just a different taint.
Yeah. It's,
gross, dude.
That's a problem.
Keep
isn't
it classy.
Hey, that's my girlfriend you're talking about. Well,
the best part of
you're gonna anger Mama Bear.
Actually, I never watched I didn't I actively tried not to watch Breaking Bad because I hated Malcolm in the Middle. And Bryan Cranston was one of the reasons. I thought his the Malcolm in the Middle type acting is like a certain
presentation.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little hammier.
Yeah, I mean it's but it's that type of show.
It's Crazy Fox sitcom.
Yeah, it's almost like cartoonish but in the real world. Mm-hmm. Just I don't know. I've never really liked it.
Go ahead, Costello.
Yeah, I didn't care for Malcolm in the Middle.
I heard you liked that show a lot.
I mean, I like the one episode where they go rock climbing. That
was the
cool.
Rock climbing episode.
Yeah.
The one where Rachel goes rock climbing.
Yeah.
You were telling me about how Bryan Cranston was also in Seinfeld, were you?
Yeah, yeah. He's the pizza delivery guy. He's like,
that's not what you're telling me.
This is a tremendous waste of time. He's the anti-dentite. Here's what I'll say about Malcolm in the Middle is you go back and after watching Breaking Bad, you go back and watch Malcolm in the Middle and you notice how fucking badass he was on that show. Like, there's a scene where the man is covered head to toe in bees. He's wearing a swarm of bees.
Whoa.
And the dude's method, and they wanted to have a stunt guy in, and he said, no, I'm wearing the bees. And he filmed a scene just covered in a whole swarm of bees.
What an idiot.
And he's great. He's a fantastic actor.
And he's a jerk to those stuntmen who specialize in bee apparel.
Those people need jobs.
They do.
He took a man's
job.
He's
the reason the economy's the way it is.
I would blame him.
He's the reason that all those stunt bee people are outside the Dunkin' Donuts on the corner.
Well, that's why all those bees were dying off a couple summers ago. Half of them were getting laid off because they weren't getting as wide a spread of use.
That's the problem.
Keith, they're still dying.
I know.
Where have all the pollinators gone?
Mm. I also want to take your attention to the chat room. Taryn saying that Bryan Cranston was also in Babylon 5.
Really?
Nice.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
This is so interesting.
You know, I should have seen Babylon 5, but I never have. Has anyone here seen Babylon 5?
No.
I
have no idea what that is.
My dad loved it.
What's Babylon 5?
Babylon 5 is like a space show in the vein of Star Trek, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to Star Trek, but not as good in my mind.
It was created by a comic book writer, J. Michael Straczynski.
Wait, time out. Has anybody here seen it?
I saw a couple episodes and checked out, but I've checked out of things that were good before, and so and Babylon 5, it lasted for what, 6 seasons?
No,
sure.
How many was it?
It was probably 5.
There wasn't that much else sci-fi on TV.
SeQuest was on.
Was it on UPN?
Earth 2012
It wasn't it wasn't the lowest budget, and so they were able to last a bit, so. Couldn't have been that bad.
Oh, Earth 2 is what I was thinking.
Earth 2! That was a great show.
It was like Cleopatra 2020 or 2200,
what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
People were always trying, sci-fi, and they will always try. But Babylon 5 did last a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just
in fact,
jam.
The internet did tell me just now that it did indeed have 5 seasons.
Wow.
Nice. Babylon
5.
5 seasons of television. Anyway.
Yeah. We were also talking about the Wizard of Oz too, right?
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz is a
That's
little
true.
More. Wizard of Oz is one of those ones that you can watch over and over again. They play it every year at around Easter time. Is it when they have it?
Christmas
on? Or is it Christmas?
They
Christmas.
Do Thanksgiving, don't they? No.
There's one time a year. I didn't think it was
autumnal.
Christmas. I think
Thanksgiving too.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's
gotta
be a harvest.
I remember watching it once a year with my family. And it's one of those, it's timeless. You keep watching it, and it's so familiar. It's like ingrained in our pop culture.
Generally,
yes.
We play it in the cold months because people are indoors more, and generally when people see that Wizard of Oz is on, they stop and watch Wizard of Oz. It's just, there's something about Wizard of Oz that makes everybody stop and watch Wizard of Oz.
You know what really struck me about Wizard of Oz is that my friend Jenny, who was, she went to law school at John Marshall, and they said, never use a movie in court. Never use a movie as any type of argument or anything. Like,
well,
never reference.
Why would you?
But
who would ever use a movie?
No, I mean, if they're talking about, a character, if you're, trying to, say, this character's
you,
kinda,
sir,
like, this
are a regular Voldemort.
Yeah.
I point to Harry Potter.
Movie
are
talking about,
But, or arguing for a situation or something.
What about
but,
defense? Or, you know, well, like...
because it's not real?
You're Jafar! Yeah, you're just like Jafar! Jafar!
We're only accused as an actor in the movie.
But the only one that they say you could ever use that would, like, really... that they would ever suggest using would be Wizard of Oz, because... almost everyone has seen it, and it's
a lot of people use Catcher in the Rye. Though
this is what they said,
but
it's
still fictional.
Wait, Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah, but I mean, if they're talking about references, or they're like using it as a situational thing.
Castelby's getting mad. He's waiting.
Catcher in the Rye has been used as a lot of people who've been assassins or things like that. Who've been the guy who shot John Lennon cited Catcher in the Rye. Is one of the reasons why he read the book and felt motivated. And there's been other people.
It was the Matrix of its time.
No, because there's this monologue in a play called Mikula did 6 Degrees of Separation a couple years ago. And this guy's a monologue about Catcher in the Rye being used as source material for a lot of people claiming insanity, or a lot of lawyers having their clients claim insanity, ride or die.
I don't remember that happening in my life.
So I'm looking up Wizard of Oz stuff, and here's some kind of cool, well, I guess not that cool, but it's awesome. An old urban legend claimed that in the film a munchkin could be seen committing suicide.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew about this.
Wait, there
in the forest, it's a shadow.
No, it's like it's a bird. An animal. It's a bird. Yeah.
It's
just a bird bending over.
And more likely a crane or an emu, but it could be a midget killing himself.
LP.
Yeah.
No joke. I tried to write that into our show. I couldn't figure out a good way, but there is a character that attempted suicide in Breaking Bad. And in the original draft, I had him killing himself. And our stage isn't big enough. Our stage isn't deep enough to have a background where only some people can notice.
Yeah.
But I wanted someone in the background to commit
suicide.
Just
have it be Lauren in the booth.
There you go. I could do
it. Dude, Lauren. That's Easter egg for all our listeners right now.
You did great as the raccoon last night.
Yeah. What are we throwing papers?
Yeah, we ducked into.
That was hilarious. I was
throwing garbage at the row in front of you.
That was funny.
I saw that. Only a couple hilarious. People could see.
I didn't even know about it.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I put on the little booth light.
You nailed it.
I know they originally wanted Shirley Temple for Wizard of Oz. I feel like
really?
She would have made it.
You
awful.
Can see that. That was the number one thing I noticed, is that like Judy Garland's way too old to be playing this, but plays it so perfectly. No, I'm not saying she's not good. She's fantastic at it. But once you realize that like this is meant for like a 12-year-old and the situation that she's in and stuff like that, it kind of creeps you out. By you, I mean me.
Yeah,
it's a popular book, too.
She's supposed to be
it's
that
a popular
age,
book.
One of the versions.
She's, really, really young.
But, yeah, I think she can pass for, like, 15, 16, and that's believable to me.
She was 16.
I was about to say, well, that's the thing, is that I've always watched and it assuming she was, like, 16, but the way that they write the dialogue and, like... The dress being a little oversized.
Kansas.
Yeah, but she's a little girl. She's like, 12 or something.
Well, I mean, that's like a lot of things. Romeo and Juliet.
Does anyone?
I knew 12-year-olds with big tits. Sometimes that shit happens.
Maybe she's just a really dumb 16-year-old.
So,
I mean, that was the idea, is that she was very naive and innocent because she was from Kansas.
Speaking of Wizard of Oz casting choices. IMDb is also informing me that a producer on The Wizard of Oz had originally intended to use the MGM lion, the actual lion.
Leo the lion, yes.
In the role of the cowardly lion, and they were just going to dub an actor's voice in for the dialogue of a real lion.
Well, they did that for a chance.
Do you have a fun fact about that MGM lion, that actual lion that you're talking about?
Yeah,
Leo.
What about him?
When he does the roar in the famous book. Apparently, a day after that shoot, or maybe even that day, that lion like killed its trainer.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Are you kidding?
I'm gonna have to think about that every time I see that logo.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so probably murdered the trainer.
Not be until
that's what Castelby told me.
That actual lion, I don't think it would be as classic of a movie. It'd be like, it's a movie with a weird talking lion.
Lion
Witch in the Wardrobe. All right, so
I'm a fan of talking animal movies. So I might have been still all right with it.
Would they have been able to do a musical, though?
They probably wouldn't have the lion sing any numbers.
Exactly. I don't think he can skip in time.
I would love to see just lion footage with the Cowardly Lion song dubbed over it. Yeah. Just not like not matched at all to what the lion's really doing.
The amount of things that they pumped into Wizard of Oz is just amazing. The amount of money and different things. I mean, they had a Busby Berkeley dance number choreographed by Busby Berkeley.
Yeah.
Then cut. they had Buddy Ebsen as the original Tin Man, and then he had to go to the hospital and could never be the Tin Man.
Oh, that's right, because he was allergic to the makeup or something, right?
Yeah, and then he inhaled the aluminum powder, and it got through his lungs, and it was awful. But so then they had to get rid of him and then bring in Jack Haley, who was another successful, actor and radio personality as well.
It's like Spider-Man turn off the dark, but
yes, like yes, at the exactly. Time, like you're exactly just right
about it.
Yes, wow. It was like Spider-Man turn off the dark because they even had to switch directors because Gone with the Wind was being made at the same time, and it was Victor Fleming was on. Mm-hmm. Gone with the Wind, but Clark Gable was pretty good buddies with George Cukor, and like Clark Gable and George, and Victor Fleming were not getting along. So then they flipped him so that Clark Gable could work with his buddy, and then they still could have a good director for Wizard of Oz to help the project finally finish. But they even paused for a while in production. Because it originally started out in black and white, and then they actually got the ability to make color pictures after that, so then they started doing it. That wasn't like an art direction thing initially.
Wow. That's so awesome when you...
Like, it's so iconic now.
Yeah, that's such a huge transition, and like it changes... like because the colors in that movie are awesome.
Yeah,
like all the bright green and blue.
But especially if you're going into that movie, seeing it for the first time, and you don't know that's going to happen, how cool must that have been in 1939?
I remember as a kid thinking, like, watching it and just being like, "Oh, some black and white movie that you know my parents watched." And then when it was like all these like brilliant colors,
holy shit!
You what know? The yes. fuck? It did really well in 1939, but it wasn't like a big hit. What really made it do so well was they kept re-releasing it in theaters.
Oh, I knew that.
And throughout its re-releases, and then its use in reruns on television, but you know, when it was on TV, it was all black and white. Because they didn't have color yet.
Yeah.
So people would watch it on television and not, you know, wasn't a thing really.
Huh.
It was a weird deal. Wizard of Oz just somehow always survives.
Fun Oz fact. According to lead munchkin Jerry Marin, the little people on the set were paid $50 per week for a 6-day work week, while Toto received $125 per week.
That's horseshit.
Dude, Toto had way more to do.
Yeah, man. Toto was in, like, every scene with
Dorothy.
Yeah,
but... But it's a dog.
He was still paid more per hour than the Munchkins
were. You know what's worse is I read a story, like, the day after they finished filming, Toto choked his trainer to death. Like,
you can see him in the background and he frees the shot where the lion's like cowardly.
Yeah. He's behind the apple throwing trees.
Yeah.
My assistant directed a live Wizard of Oz with a real dog as Toto.
I've seen a version of it with a real dog. It's adorable.
How did you work with that dog then, Lauren?
There were two dogs and they looked exactly alike, and we just would have we'd have two people on either side of the stage with treats, and then she would always have treats in her basket, and they were just really well-behaved, trained dogs.
See, Wizard of Oz, though, when you do it with a child, it's one of those musicals that places do that's like, they do that, they do Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, mm-hmm. because that brings out... Like, yeah, all the kids' parents come see it.
We had 75 kids as Munchkins. Yes. That place was sold
out. You cast all the kids as Munchkins, and you fill that entire house every night because aunts and uncles and grandparents. And then when you're an actual teenager and you're like, "Mom, I'm in the Wizard of Oz," and they don't come out and see you. But when you're 5 years old, everyone comes out and sees you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was in the Lullaby League. Nice. I played multiple parts. But, like, when I was way too old, I was in high school,
I don't know why they included me in the group, but I had to wear, like, footy pajamas,
no.
And I was with, like, all these tiny girls.
They probably wanted you to control them.
I don't know, but...
was this with Cotton the Act?
No, this was Music on Stage.
Oh, nice.
But I was also a Winky Soldier and a Poppy.
I was a Scarecrow, but we didn't do a musical version. We did, like, the straight play version.
Oh, wow.
The hard-hitting film noir was it
awesome. However, what was awesome is because I went to school in Neuqua Valley, and we had a Neuqua budget, which, because of all those kids, the same, like, they also had, like, a 75 amount of kids running around.
Mm-hmm.
But we hired, like, a Las Vegas fly company.
What?
And we
what?
Flew everything that flies
oh
in the movie
God.
Flew in our show.
Whoa. Oh
and also, Jesus. Not only that, but we had the house, the entire house, it was like half the stage, and it was half of it was fully finished
yeah.
outside, and then the inside was fully furnished inside, but it was sort of halved, and it was on casters, and during the tornado, people with ropes ran and spanned the stage,
whoa.
And Dorothy had to run and step onto the spinning house, go in the door, and she went through the door just as it turned to the back side of the house. It was ridiculous.
Whoa.
We just had,
yeah.
like, professional level.
No, my little
awesome.
Brother was in a version of The Wizard of Oz, and they actually, and it didn't sound, like, that crazy, where
mm-hmm.
they got to do that, but they still, I mean, there was, their witch was really good, you know, for a teenager, and she got to fly the bike over the stage, like,
yeah.
they actually had her... They set up the fly system well enough to where she... And, like, we had a really tall stage. It was super tall. And,
yeah.
like, she was pretty fearless up there. Just
wow.
yeah,
cackled and just flew over the fucking stage on a bike. And my little brother was the wizard.
Nice.
My little brother was the wizard. He flew... He got to fly in the hot air balloon. And he almost ruined the entire show.
Oh, no.
Because he and Dorothy had a history. They used to date... And, you know, like, my little brother on stage is a bit narcissistic.
This is Blandy?
This is Blandy. Uh-huh. He likes you know, promoting himself up there. And he wanted to steal the last line away from Dorothy as Professor Marvel. Because, you know, the it ends with her going, you know, there's no place like home. And what he did in the rehearsal the night before, she goes, there's no place like home. And as the curtain's coming down, he just laughs and goes, ain't it the truth? And, like, the director was like, I swear to God, Andy Bogue, if you do that tomorrow night, you will never work in another play here. Like, you,
oh,
and, like,
shit.
And, like, they were so pissed, but he just wanted, just, the line adds nothing. It adds absolutely nothing. It just makes you the last person that talks.
It's otherwise entirely destructive.
Ain't it the truth?
Honestly, for me, I would burst out laughing, and I would love the show, like, 30 times
more.
That's my little
I
would
like that.
But all those like 75 little kids' parents would be furious.
Yeah. Such a weird. They'd be like, why did that happen?
You know? The show was great except for that bullshit at the end.
Because it wasn't
ain't
even
it
like
the truth.
It wasn't even like a family member or something that's close like this Professor Marvel.
Well, he would have a lot of perspective on it, I guess.
Yeah, he would know. He's been around the block.
I can't believe that.
Has anyone seen or read Return to Oz?
They're making a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary
movie.
I've
with
seen
the
it.
Killers?
With the heads?
Yeah.
Yes, with the heads.
Return
like,
to Oz.
It's in canon. It's about, I mean, it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be right after the book.
Yeah. It's actually, it looks like it holds the record for longest span of time before a movie and its sequel were released. I think it's something like 46
1985
years.
1985 is when it came out.
Wasn't that terrifying?
It
yes.
went. Oh,
yeah,
it's horrifying.
It's, yeah.
Shay, you're a big fan of that movie, right? Or no?
No.
I thought for sure.
Lauren, please tell us what Shay's favorite movie is. Gosh, get it from the girlfriend. You know what I say?
Wait, so are you like totally freaked out by flying
monkeys?
Oh, it's
Wait,
Dirty Dancing.
That, it just occurred to me here. It just
the
occurred to me.
Girlfriend.
Lauren and Lisa have their lady talk. We actually have another lady in the
oh,
room.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
It's been a while since we've done a minute of lady talk.
Wow! Should we start up a minute?
Yeah. This is Shay. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but
I'm not.
This is just where the ladies get to talk and us fellas say nothing for 1 minute.
This is my favorite segment. Like, that's my favorite movie. That Return to Oz is my favorite movie.
Great. Ladies, and not gentlemen, your free minute of conversation begins now.
So, Shay, what is your favorite movie?
For reals, my favorite movie is Arsenic and Old Lace, because I'm a big old sappy. Just Cary Grant in that movie every time just makes my hat go pitter-patter.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
Like, old, like, 50s? Oh, okay, not old, but I mean, like, guys who are young and dashing in the 50s.
Gene Kelly.
Not in
yes.
their 50s.
Gene
yes.
Kelly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Stewart.
Yes!
I swear.
Oh, my God. The most amazing.
Amazing.
Do you guys prefer the old-timey guys to, like, the new-timey guys?
I guess.
What about the black and white? Would that get to you?
I could learn to deal. I don't see color.
That's profound. Like, I like that.
Hey.
You know, I just, I think you idealize that time, you know? You look back on it and you see the good that they put forth and you just... You know.
It is. It's all very cute and it's all very pristine. Everyone's dancing. How can
yeah,
you
I miss
dancing?
Everyone's dancing.
The guys, like, all
how
the
dancing.
Like,
everyone knew how to
Ryan
dance.
Ryan Reynolds doing a musical dancing it up. Or where's
Ryan Reynolds tap dancing. I would pay hundreds.
I would
not
pay
hundreds.
Too.
Like $30.
Hundreds of dimes.
Ryan
I think
yes.
this has been over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would. I
would not pay hundreds of dollars.
I said $30.
If there was a Ryan Reynolds movie and he danced in it, but they charged $400 a ticket, you wouldn't go fucking see it. It wouldn't be worth it.
I wanted to be on record.
If I had it.
I think this was the first lady talking time. Where Cloud didn't just blatantly disagree with what Lauren was saying.
I think it's because Shay was here.
Thank God for Shay.
So they could all team up.
Yeah.
No good.
It was good talking ladies. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it. I especially like it when it's like the lady talk time and they all get to a point where they actually go, he's so cute. It's amazing.
It happens very often.
It does.
Like put enough of us in a room.
Yeah.
That was actually...
I mean, he's not really in black and white, guys.
So wait,
it
sounded
like they were worried that he would be black and white.
Cloud was, because Cloud lives in a magical world.
So
they're people.
Lauren.
You
so,
know this.
Maybe it's like the Purple Rose of Cairo, and he just like steps out.
Or like Pleasantville.
Yeah, and we gotta have orgasms to get color.
Yeah, bro.
Yep.
So wait,
that's
Lauren.
My girlfriend.
By the way, that'd be fucking freaky as hell. Like, you know, no one responded with horror in Pleasantville, but that had to be really startling.
Like, that's life-changing. Absolutely life-changing.
I think that's the plot of The Giver.
Is that
it
the
is.
Plot of The Giver?
It kind of is,
kind
yeah.
Of
yeah.
It's orgasms?
No,
not
no,
orgasms.
It's letting
but
yourself
color.
Feel the like, pleasure, yeah, and then the more that you let yourself to, like use imagination, because
right.
he sees
oh.
the red in the hair.
Because I always confuse that with The Giving Tree. And Giving Tree with orgasms is really weird.
Not too far off, though. That
no, pretty
tree
similar.
Wanted to pleasure that boy.
He did. He'd do anything.
Okay, so
that,
like,
she said that a lot.
In Pleasantville, it's like all they know is black and white, and there's color. What if that's like us right now, and all we know is color, and there's something beyond color?
Fourth dimension.
Well, there are things that we are able to measure on instruments that we can't see with our eyes.
We can't
yeah.
Like, did you guys see the Fento
like
photography
infrared.
Thing?
The
there's
what?
Like there's a, they have a camera. The, sort of a camera that will take images at a trillionth of a second.
What?
So they had a stop motion video of light going through a plastic Coke bottle, and you could see the photons when they hit, like, because it goes from the bottom of the Coke bottle where it's clear, you can see the photons like hit the cap and then shatter.
Whoa.
Like throughout the bottle. It was awesome. But they do it in like this crazy way where they, what it's actually doing is taking a bunch of pictures and then reconstructing the image, and it's shooting like a millisecond's worth of laser.
Wow.
And they just take the image so many times that they can figure out what's happening.
Wow.
But it was like really cool. And like light, you see like waves of light, and it looks like water. It's just really cool.
Well, no, my
can you link me to that later?
Yeah, yeah. It was a TED Talk thing.
LP's on it
right
now.
Supernatural.
I'm
looking for
something. Like,
I can't find it.
Twilight-y, whatever.
It's on
movies.
The TED homepage.
They always say, like, once, you know, once they become a vampire, oh, I can see everything much more clear and color is much brighter. And they, I don't know, they talk about that in Vampire
Diaries. Babies are demons.
Well,
yeah.
wasn't the whole thing about the Wizard of Oz, or at least in Return to Oz, was that Dorothy was just nuts.
Yeah.
They thought she was, yeah.
Yeah, like Return to Oz, she gets brought to like an insane asylum.
Yeah. Right?
They're going to do electroshock there.
Yeah, they're going to do electroshock. And there's, you know, you could interpret the movie to be that the whole thing was just a hallucination in her mind. She got the shock, and there's a storm in there, and, you know, that's the shock, and then that's all this stuff that happens in her brain.
It's a real fucked up way to look at the whole chronicle of the Oz saga.
Yeah, and that's what I understand is that, you know, the movie was very cheery, and it cheered up a whole entire nation, you know, after all this, you know, war and depression, and, you know, I mean, it was, but, like, the actual world of Oz is, like, pretty fucked up and mm-hmm. gets, like, really dark. And, like, that's, I don't know, maybe that's why we're still kind of, I mean, is that why we're attached to it? Or do we just like the cheery?
I feel like I'm attached to it because it is weird. I mean, I could take or leave the cheer and all the good, warm, fuzzy feelings.
What about,
like,
the music?
Oh, well, the yeah. music, obviously. The music is classic. You gotta love the music. But I like that the music is tied through with scenes of weird shit that, like, it's just, like, throwing more weird shit onto a scene and seeing what happens.
It's, yeah, and, it's, like, some of the scenes are pretty terrifying. Like,
yeah.
the witch was, like, fucking scary as hell, yeah. Like, when you're a kid. Like, she was good at
being... Oh, yeah, man.
Dula used to run out of the room when the witch came on.
Come on, don't tell anyone.
No, it's true. You told me this.
It's humiliating.
It's a universal story, though, and it's good versus evil and males and, you know...
Someone told me, like, this is supposed to represent the stock market or, like, Wall Street. Like, the Yellow Brick Road is money. Or no, Emerald City is money. I don't know.
I don't know. Bullshit. I don't know.
Oh, Clark Gable, that's the other one.
Ooh.
So, Lauren, do you think would you take a Jimmy Stewart over a Josh Hutcherson?
Oh,
snap. Whoa.
Or would you go, like, if Clark Gable and R-Pats both were asking you out, but you could only go out with one?
In their prime.
And they both, like, have boners currently.
Wait.
So who's in between?
A lot of urgency.
Clark Gable and Josh Hutcherson. That's really hard. Really hard.
So are they.
Pink. Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
Come back to me. I'll
They're both in a very, very soft bed just waiting to hold you.
They have, like, roses in their teeth.
They just want to hold you. They just want to hold you.
They're wearing collared shirts.
What?
Hey, I got a question for you. I thought of this a second ago, but then we went off track from it. But do girls come together, like, when they're hanging out with each other and show each other videos of, like, the cutest thing they've seen recently, whereas guys show each other, like, the funniest thing?
Never.
Like, hey, did you see this stupid thing? And then the girls are girls always just like, did you see the kitten that, like, is in a sink? And the water comes on, and he just keeps putting his head under it. No. Oh, you got to see it. I'll show it to you.
If I may, Keith, some women do, and I know because Castelvi tells me that some of his castmates will do that, will just only show him pictures of cute things, specifically Mel Evans of Comedy Sports show cute things, adorable pictures of otters and such.
I'm not a cute video or picture person. I'm the outcast.
Lauren sends me cute things all the time. I feel like there's just
don't
so
know
much.
Why.
There's just so much funny stuff on the internet. I can't waste my time with too much cute
stuff. But see,
stuff.
Over at my job, we had a puppy cam going around. Has anyone seen the Shiba Inu puppy cam?
No, I think I've heard you talk about
that.
It.
What? We at work we had it because, you know, I work a job. I do sales over phone, which can get to you. It's rough. You have to face a lot of rejection. You're talking to a lot of people who don't necessarily want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some guy has a webcam, and, you know, they had a litter of puppies, and it's the puppies will be sleeping, and sometimes they'll wake up and they'll fight with each other and they'll play around. And just to have it was just a tab that you have open.
No,
so, like, if you're sitting there and you're frustrated or something, you're like, oh, I'll flip on, I'll see what the puppies are doing. I was like,
nice.
Oh yeah, they're fighting with the rope. Okay.
There's a duck thing like that.
And, yeah, I've seen other people watching these cams, but it's just nice to, like, I
mostly associate that type of thing with porn.
Yeah, you just have it casually open in the background.
No, the porn cams. That's like a thing.
Yeah,
that's where I first heard of somebody broadcasting like that. So somebody has taken that and put it to puppies. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like Puppy Bowl is live. You can get it online too. Is it streaming?
And dude, someone masturbates to Puppy Bowl there. I saw it.
Whoa. No.
Somebody does. Probably. Somebody has.
There's probably somebody.
I feel like that sentence is true of almost anything.
That's true.
Like, yeah,
everybody's got their something.
Everybody's been tainted.
It's rule 35. If it exists, somebody has
masturbated. Don't throw my puns back at me.
You know, one thing that strikes me about Wizard of Oz is all those munchkins. I just can't help but think about those munchkins. That guy, Jerry Marin, that you talked about earlier, talked about what was so crazy about doing that movie was he never met so many little people in his entire life.
Really?
He said most of them, you know, grew up not knowing very many little people. And so then there they get, and there's, like, how many were there? There was over 100,
yeah,
right?
A lot.
How many? There was, like, over 100.
Man, it's just amazing. That had to suck to be, the little person who didn't make it in. Like, the guy who got a call back and then wasn't able, but all the other midgets in his entire state of Idaho.
Little people.
I wonder how many of them got married or, like, you know, like, that was, like, a thing people had to, like, get together and meet other little people.
Well, it must have just been awesome.
Little people have, like meetings. They have, like, big, like...
In 1937.
They don't dress up as each other.
No.
People big world.
I mean, you got to think about that time. It was, I mean, there wasn't much going on.
There's so fewer ways they could have networked and actually connected with other little people.
And they understand what you're going through, all the bullshit that you have to deal with that nobody else has to deal with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't, that's a different world. I watched True Life about that on MTV.
That Small World, that reality show?
Little People, Big World.
Castelvi's dad loves that show, only because he thinks that it's so weird because they're small.
The father,
it's like...
I think you've just articulated 100% of the appeal of that show.
but Castelvi's dad is, like, legitimately like, well, they're freaks, and, like, they're running around.
Jesus.
And Castelvi's always like, Dad, that's really not appropriate. don't ever tell anyone else that.
Castelvi, is that true?
Yeah, I'm looking at this dog still.
But yeah, there's midget tossing. I think they still do that.
In bars.
It's illegal, but they do it.
It's illegal?
It's illegal to toss anybody, but it's assault.
No, well, sometimes, what didn't you hear? Because some of the little people were complaining because they got that's how they got money, is through those things. They
through a good tossing?
Yeah. They get paid to get a good tossing. And they were upset that they couldn't do it anymore. I think this happened in Britain.
But that's so humiliating.
Yes.
It's so degrading.
There's a scene. There's a scene in Lord of the Rings where they have to toss. Gimli? Is that his name? Yeah. And my mom, when we got to that scene, just wouldn't stop giggling her ass off.
All right, Tins.
Like, apparently, my mom was some secret fan.
Tins, if there was like a want ad.
Okay.
And it said, wanted Friday night, need a regular size person. How tall are you? 5'9".
Dude, 5'11". 5'11".
5'11".
And a half.
Get paid $200 and we'll toss, and we just toss you around a park for like 3 hours.
Okay, wait, give me more specifics. A park?
Yeah, just around a park, you know, because that's where they hold the tossing event.
How many people are going to be at this event? Is that in the one ad?
Yeah, it's like 20 to 30 people.
I don't know, man.
It's Thursday night.
Human tossing is huge.
Do they get him drunk? Because they usually get
they get them drunk. And it's an organized sport, so it's not like anyone can just pick you up and toss you. There are rules to the game.
And how much alcohol could it possibly take to get you drunk?
It's true. 25, 30 people. So it's like, it's a spectacle, but it's not like, it's not even a huge, like, trivia nights at bars are more populated. That this is like if somebody saw two bums fighting, there's 25, 30 people around.
How far do you think you could toss a dwarf?
Bum fight!
Am I like, throwing him like a discus?
How would you, I have no idea.
Like,
if
you
it's
would
underhand.
Toss him out of a bar.
Like, is it underhand?
5 feet.
Like, by the collar you throw him?
Airplane style.
Bowser style, like Mario throws Bowser in 64.
Several, several oh, like, so
I think collar and belt.
Yeah. Like a,
collar
like a hammer throw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hammer toss a small person.
I feel like they do a lot of stuff like that in, like, Austin Powers.
They do a lot of, that's very popular in Austin. And pretty much any Mike Myers film, because he did that in The Guru.
Yeah, Mike Myers loves to degrade Vern Troyer.
Poor Vern Troyer.
Just as Vern Troyer. Vern Troyer loves to submit to it.
He voluntarily gets puts himself in that situation.
Yeah, and now he has a sex tape. No one else.
Did you ever see him at Celebrity?
I did.
Just no one wants to watch.
I did see it on that.
He was like drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He
would
just pee on stuff.
Yeah,
he was such an asshole.
Well, then there's my my favorite little person. God rest his soul, Joe C. Kid Rock's
oh,
right
yeah,
hand man.
Okay.
Wow, I totally forgot he existed.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he totally beats the hell out of the dude from Game of Thrones, man.
What about Warwick Dink?
Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dink?
The Dink?
Yeah, man, Joe C.
I feel, for the record, I just want to say that Peter Dinklage, he talks a little too much about how he's a dwarf all the time. He seems like every time he's doing an interview, he's like mad about like people being like, "You're a dwarf."
Maybe well, probably because dwarves are still accepting money for good tossing.
Step one: stop taking the money.
I wouldn't, because I really like Game
like
of Thrones.
If I was a dwarf and I won a Golden Globe and an Emmy, I'd probably talk about how I really wish dwarves would stop accepting 20s to get tossed around in bars or. Getting shoved around while 25 people watch in a park.
Kids, I agree with you, but sometimes you gotta eat to live.
No. You gotta get tossed.
You gotta get tossed.
Tell you all about it when I got the time.
Get tossed, oh, eat to live.
Yeah.
I know. When we were having friends in college, he was a dwarf, or he is a dwarf.
He was a dwarf.
But I knew him then.
He grew out of it.
Nice one.
The pun crown is finally mine.
Oh my god.
You did it, too.
Yeah, that was great.
Put it over your head.
But there's but what I was saying is there's a difference between dwarves and little people. There's different variations on dwarf. I think dwarfism. He was a dwarf in that his torso was fine, but he had an adopted brother who was a little person, who was, you know, the kind where they have a normal sized head, but everything is diminished.
Don't forget the beards and low light vision and cave sensibilities.
I got that joke, but not many people.
Wait, what?
It's the Dungeons and Dragons.
Those are many of their racial abilities.
Yes. But he would often brag that he was a dwarf and not a little person. And so apparently there's like a thing that dwarves, and dwarves are higher, I guess, or they're more wanted to be than little people, or midgets, as they're called. And I thought that was interesting. He was also very angry and a drug dealer.
Are you sure he didn't just say that because he himself was a dwarf?
You know Matt, right? Didn't you know
did
him?
I know
why are you
Matt?
Asking him as
I
a
did.
Drug dealer?
You knew him.
All right, yeah.
Because whatever. I don't see him anymore.
McCoolie, you're a crazy man.
I know.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Crazy.
Yeah, McCoolie.
Yeah, you can talk a lot about stuff.
Como se llama?
You know, do you think little people have their own tee off distance at the golf course?
At the putt putt.
At the putt putt.
Well, I think it would probably be the kids and ladies tee.
Yeah. How well do you think they play golf? Do you think they play golf pretty well?
I think they probably play pretty well. I think it's probably
it's real tough to get, because you got to get your elbow just right in order to go straight with a golf club.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be up to par.
Yeah.
Oh!
I'll allow it. I hate to give up the crown, but that was legit.
Man, yeah.
Anyway, I guess that means it's time for Cloud's Golf Tips.
Paint a Gimli face onto your golf ball and plant a sound chip inside. Then, right as you're swinging, time it so that your golf ball says, "Toss me." Toss it all the way across the course till it plops right in the hole. Then when your opponent looks at you and says, what you did was legal. You can just tell him to his face. I don't know if you heard, but it's 2012.
This has been Clouds Golf Tips.
She like said, "Come at me, bro," to the mic with her body.
You missed it last week, Cloud, but we had John Sterk on, and he did Cloud's golf tips, and they were actually very good.
They were very helpful.
They were very helpful in my golf game. And could you believe if I told you that no one was murdered or tricked in John Sterk, would you believe that's a good tip?
Not as creative.
Although, what I like about that particular golf tip, Cloud, is you suggest actually tossing the golf ball, which I can't imagine is going to go any farther than, like, 50 yards, right?
Maybe you should work on your bicep curls, Tins.
B, fair enough. B, however, I like that this is one of the only golf tips where you slight your opponent and your opponent actually takes offense and umbrage to it.
You know what, Cloud? Don't listen to him. I'm going to follow your tips to a T.
It's not good enough because I had the same one in my head.
I had the same golf that grew out of it.
But he was being so funny, I didn't notice.
It's up to the king.
LP will be the judge.
I'm giving it up to him.
I'm going to roll it.
The crown.
You know, folks,
I wish it had snapped.
We are recording this podcast on what just happened. We are recording this podcast on,
a little lower than I thought.
On Monday, August 6th, which means if you're catching this not live, if you're catching this as we are releasing it on iTunes and on octavarius.com, you're listening to this on Friday, August 10th. Which means we have some very special birthdays to announce.
It's perfect.
I was actually on the wrong page, so I'm at a disadvantage.
Happy birthday,
too.
Antonio Banderas.
Ooh. Happy birthday, Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull.
Happy birthday, Lucas Till, co-star of the Hannah Montana movie.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Antonio Banderas.
Again.
Happy birthday.
Oh, really? Shit. I was too too focused.
Former New York Knicks point guard John Starks.
Oh,
personal.
Boom.
I hate him, yeah.
Happy birthday, Rosanna Arquette. Less embarrassing than David Arquette.
Good birthday plug.
Happy birthday. Did we do this one already? Jack Haley.
No.
Tin Man or Survive.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Way to go, Costello.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Devin Aoki, sexy Asian model.
That's right. She was in Sin City.
Yeah.
That's the Asian one.
You know, folks, we've had a lot of special birthdays to announce today, but we have to give some bad news to for every person that is born on this planet, one must die. But that is the rule. So, unfortunately, to the friends, family, and fans of... Let's go with... There's some boring ones in this movie.
That's so sad.
Oh my God.
To the family, friends, and fans of... Rin Tin Tin, American canine film actor.
To the family of Isaac Hayes, American music and actor. Chef.
Sorry for your loss.
Our deepest and most heartfelt condolences to the family and friends of Sincharishkun, Assyrian king.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for your loss.
Sorry.
I can't believe we still do it.
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts.
I love it too. Don't get me wrong.
And somewhere out there, some descendant of Sincharishkun who lived in 612 BC. We've just deeply offended and hurt someone emotionally.
Seriously.
He's happy that someone's saying
that. Yeah, we're remembering his ancestors.
We're celebrating his life.
Yes, thank you. Oh, boy.
Hey, nobody else died, really?
August is a very eventful month. Nothing
happened.
Conrad
the Red.
I'm sorry?
Conrad the Red. Sorry, man. 955.
Did you say sorry, man?
Tell me you're crazy.
Rather die.
Is he a Viking?
Duke of Lotharingen.
Lotharingen,
he died in battle.
Oh, okay.
You know, Tins, before we get to our most coveted segment at the end of the podcast, we probably do have some sponsors to thank. The Uncle Funds.
Absolutely.
Wonderful partners of us that provide you with all the nonsensical nonsense you need.
And as well as Cheesy's Pub and Grub, right across the street from the Comedy Sports Theater, selling you all the delicious grilled cheese sandwiches and pizzas that you could ever need. Also, Capri Sun.
And new best friend,
Chicago Costume Company, right off the Fullerton stop. They literally have everything you can need costume prop wise. I was there today and they had like 15 animal noses, they had a wall of every kind of mask.
They have a warehouse on Montrose too that I went to. I actually got the club that Castelvi used in the Lizard Exposition Prohibition Show.
It's 1120 West Fullerton.
1120 West Fullerton. I got my Wonder Woman costume.
Support Chicago businesses. It is good for you.
Hey, I got a question, Tins.
Yeah.
And actually for everybody, is nobody going to address the elephant in the room here? The one that Mark's holding.
Wow. The stuffed elephant Beanie Baby thing that Mark pretended was the letter today.
And has been holding the entire podcast.
Wow. Good visual pun, Keith.
I thought that would do well for the podcast.
Great. You know, we are actually almost out of time, but before we get to our favorite segment, let me just thank our special guest, Shay, once again for being on the podcast.
Oh, thank
Shay,
you guys.
Thanks for hanging out. And we are so excited to have you in the show on Sunday.
Super stoked.
And with that, anything else you wanna plug before you get off the airwaves?
I have a show. Let's see. If you're listening to it live, it's this upcoming Wednesday. If you're not listening to it live, it's 2 weeks on Wednesday.
Nice.
At 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, they're gonna be great. And I'm teching the stuntman over at 773. That'll be Saturday the 11th, and then whatever that following Saturday is at 8 o'clock.
18.
Excellent. Nice. Cool. Well, we are just about out of time, but, we got a little bit of time, so why don't we go right into Nick McCullough's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Castelvi, I don't think we're in Kansas.
This has been Nick McCullough's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Castelvi put a picture of a baby Hitler to distract you.
Thanks for still making it disappointing.
Yeah, although McCullough, that was actually more coherent. Yeah, I mean, I know you got cut off, but it was a complete sentence.
Almost.
Yeah. Much to your disliking.
I'm sorry.
Well, folks, that is going to do it for us. Again, Breaking Oz show this coming Sunday at the Comedy Sports Theater at 7 p.m. That's
everyone who came to the Vaudeville show last night.
What a show.
What a fun show.
Hey, wear your hat and wear your Heisenberg hat and sunglasses to get 30% off your ticket, too.
Is that a fedora?
Yeah, just any hat and sunglasses will work. But if you can wear a pork pie hat, you're a fucking badass.
And that's this Sunday at 7 p.m. at 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois. That's going to do it for us, folks. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Octavarius.com.
So we forgot to acknowledge the death of our fattest
friend. Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.